you, Elvira. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm really happy we went around the room and got a sense of who's here. And before I go any further, I want to say that I have a free ticket for the International Health Section lunch. If anybody would like that, I'm giving it away because I've got to go to the airport as soon as I finish here. So, and the other thing I wanted to say is that I've been a lifelong advocate for this notion of what I refer to as academically oriented practitioners or practitioner or academics who are program oriented. I think it's a very nice area to try to tread and walk. It's sort of like walking on a fence. You can be on either side, but I think it's a very important area to be in, and I've considered myself to have been in that. I'm going to be talking about something that nobody's ever heard about called CBIO, but I believe that it represents an important way forward for improving aid effectiveness in the future, and I think it's an area where donors should consider investing money because I think it has a lot of potential for the future, and I'm going to talk about the history of it, and it links in many historical respects back to Bangladesh and Haiti, since we have people from those two countries here, which I'll explain in a minute. So CBIO, it stands for the Census-Based Impact-Oriented Approach. Some people don't like the word census, and they prefer to use the word community-based instead of census-based. But it was the best set of words that we could come up with to describe the basic principles embedded in this approach. And I'll be explaining this more as we go through the talk. This approach has deep historical roots that go back to the 1930s and 40s when Dr. John Gordon, who was professor of epidemiology at Harvard, started doing home visits for surveillance of public health issues. And he described the first epidemic ever from the first case to the last case in Romania by having in place a system of home visits back in the 1930s. And that led to efforts in the 50s and the 60s to carry out an community-based epidemiology program that John Wyan directed under John Gordon's leadership. And that was called the CONA study. It was the first field trial of a family planning program in the world and was carried out in the 1960s. But running along with that program was a visit to every household every 2 weeks. And they collected information on vital events and cause of death and a whole variety of things that went along with the family planning program. And it became a classic textbook in public health, and the first real serious community epidemiology study in the world. And that led to John Wyan, who was directing this field research. He returned to Harvard and spent the rest of his career at Harvard teaching. And he ended up being the mentor to two important people named Warren and Gretchen Berggren, who in 1967 went to the Hospital Albert Schweitzer in Haiti to start the community health work. And they built on the ideas that John Wyan had developed in India as part of a research project. But in this case, in Haiti, it was a service delivery program that was based on visitation of all homes, registration of vital events in the home by local community workers, and through that base, developing a strong outreach program that reached everyone, and they had the ability to monitor through their health information system who was receiving services and who wasn't, to track down to the household to make sure that everybody got those services. I stumbled across this amazing program in 1979 when I visited the Hospital Albert Schweitzer in Haiti, and it transformed my professional life and my career. And then through them, I met John Wyan. And then John Wyan became my mentor. And I started a program in Bolivia in the early 80s that tried to build on these principles. And that became what we refer to as the census-based impact-oriented approach today. The chapter in the book talks about the CBIO approach. There have been several publications and journal articles about it, but it's still not widely known or appreciated. John Wyan was a dear friend, very active in the American Public Health Association. He was a medical missionary in India back in the 50s, and you see him there as a young man in the Punjab of India, but had a deep concern for how we can make health programs more effective and how aid itself could be used to make health programs more effective. And he had a particular concern on trying to demonstrate the mortality impact of health programs, which has been a central theme in my whole career, and I continue to be amazed by how little interest and emphasis there is on measuring the mortality impact of programs. It's better than it was, but when I started out there only in 1980, there were only 10 programs in the world that had attempted to measure their impact on mortality, and CBIO provides a way to do this in a pragmatic and useful way. So this is the article that we published in Social Science and Medicine in 1999 that lays out the principles of CBIO. I continue to refer to this as the Bible of CBIO. I think it's a great article, and I think it's the most important piece of academic work that I've produced in my life. And so I encourage you to take a look at that if you're interested. But what are the key ideas behind CBIO? They're very simple, but very important, and it's very relatively unusual to see these principles applied in full in programs, although we're starting to see examples of programs that are beginning to build on some of these ideas. The first one is the idea of a partnership between a public health practitioner, could be defined in many different ways, and a community, or a set of communities, but a long-term relationship of working together for the benefit of the community, but one that produces trust. And I'm in academics at Johns Hopkins, and it's interesting to see how often now this whole idea of trust between a program and a community is so vital. And the lack of trust that we saw in the Ebola epidemic, for example, in the health programs and the people. So, you know, this building trust is a very fundamental idea, and how you do it is not well described, but it certainly takes time to do it, and it involves listening to each side and working together towards common goals, which is built into this. But another overarching idea of CBIO is that on the practitioner's side, the goal is to improve health in the community or the set of communities and to demonstrate whether or not you've improved health. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But you don't see this very common. And it's not easy to do either. Now, another set of these are basic fundamental public health ideas, but still it's amazing to me how rarely you actually see these ideas really develop. But the next idea is that you need a community diagnosis. So if you think of the community as a patient and a practitioner as the doctor, using the old metaphor, the doctor or the patient, you need a diagnosis. And that diagnosis is based on locally determined epidemiological priorities and community priorities. So one of the fundamental ideas of CBIO is that the epidemiological priorities vary from place to place. They're not just uniform across the whole country, and so you need to tailor them to the local reality. All of these ideas, by the way, are John Wyan's ideas. I'm just the popularizer of his ideas. But John called the epidemiological priorities the most frequent, serious, readily preventable, or treatable conditions. So they're practical things that you can do something about. And then built into CBIO is the whole notion of monitoring progress in that program area to see if you're making progress with particular interest on improving health. Now, mortality isn't the only health indicator, but in poor countries, it's certainly, I think, the most important one. But as mortality rates get down to lower levels where you're getting to the point where you can't do much more with it, you can start to think about other ones like disability and so forth. But you know, for most of the work that I've done, it's been focused on mortality. So another fundamental idea is developing a system for identifying and maintaining contact with every household in the community. Now, when I started out back in the 80s, People laughed at this. They said, you know, you can't have a health program that's going to do that. That's what the Bergrins did in Haiti back in the late 60s and early 70s, and it can be done. And there are more and more examples now of where it is being done at scale. And Ethiopia is a great example of this, a country of 92 million, and I'll refer to that in a minute if I don't forget it. But it also involves a periodic measurement of levels of health in the community, and it also requires a system for identifying what the health priorities are in the community. So there's no standard way of doing this, but the idea of a partnership is that each partner has their own priorities, and the community's health priorities may not be the same as the epidemiological priorities. And generally, the community's priorities involve around, you know, better curative care. That's an overgeneralization, perhaps, but I think it's pretty much true. So CBIO involves determining the epidemiological priorities with local data, the community's priorities, and then merging those in some way to create the program's priorities. So I think I've mentioned all these key components here. Now there's another piece of this, which is that, and this is good solid public health, if you're going to make an impact on the health of the community, you got to identify priority groups and put emphasis on those priority groups. And it's generally the case that the most underserved, the neediest people who have the greatest risk of mortality are the ones that are most difficult to reach. So that's one of the reasons why contact with households is so important, because these are the people less likely to use facilities. Thanks. The term census base means that you identify everybody within the program area, you define the geographic area, you determine where every household is. And mapping is a great way to do that. You don't have to have mapping, but it's a great way of engaging the community, because the program is never going to have the resources to do all this. We have a lot of experience in helping communities to do this, and it's energizing for them. So these ideas, I think, are very strong. They're very powerful, and I've seen programs become empowered by trying to embrace these principles. And you can see what I've put up here. One of the reasons that I got so excited about this approach, once we had developed it and had it working well in Bolivia, was that it was empowering to the program staff themselves, because it gave them a handle on trying to decide what they should do and how they should spend their time, and it gave them a way to monitor their progress of their program. And it was so exciting to me to see how empowered they were. And I've heard many Ministry of Health people say once they got involved in working in a program like this, it's like turning a light bulb on in their head, because they'd spent their career sitting in a health post or a health center waiting for people to come. And if nobody was there, they were happy. I even had one person tell me one time, he was a physician. He said there was nobody in the health center. He said, everybody's fine, you know, and I'm here in my, you know, playing cards or something in my health center having fun, and everybody's okay out there. But he had no idea what was going on out in the community. So a lot of my work has been in child survival programming, and so it's a great way through this process of getting high levels of coverage of key interventions out into households, and we've got plenty of evidence for that. And it's a great way for delivering new community-based interventions that are coming along, whether it's community case management of childhood pneumonia or home-based neonatal care and so forth and so on, distribution of misoprostol. So I don't have time to go into all this like I wish I could, but there are increasing numbers of programs that use CBIO principles, but they don't call it CBIO, but still the principles are there. One of the most important of these is called SEARCH. This is an NGO in India that's transformed the landscape of global health. And the people who started this, Abhay and Ronnie Bang, they came from this lineage of influences from Carl Taylor and John Wyan that led into this. But they have a program of this type, and they were able to identify that childhood pneumonia was the epidemiological priority in their community area. They developed a program for training their local community health workers to diagnose and treat pneumonia, and then they published this in The Lancet. So this became the landmark example for which there were other research projects that have led to what is carried out throughout the world today of community case management of pneumonia, but it came from a CBIO type program. Once they got their mortality from pneumonia resolved as their epidemiological priority, they decided that with their own local data based on vital events in a population of 80,000 people, they determined that neonatal mortality was the next epidemiological priority, and so they devised home-based neonatal care, which has also changed the landscape of global health and is now being utilized over the world. But again, using CBIO principles to develop and implement this and to demonstrate the dramatic impact, they were able to show through their system of home visits with community health workers and using this intervention and having a control area, they lowered neonatal mortality by 70%. And then this dramatic impact has been replicated many times, not to quite the same degree, but with mortality declines of 30% or so in many other programs. And so it's now being used all over the world. So I think these are powerful examples of CBIO. The NGO that I started in Bolivia, Cure Americas as it's called now, has many examples of success using CBIO. And I don't have time to go into detail of all this, and we never have published in The Lancet and so forth these results, but we've got a number of examples.
Next year.
But dramatic mortality declines based on registration of vital events by local people of projects where we've been very successful. And so far, those are in Bolivia and Guatemala, but we're starting work in Liberia and Sierra Leone. An offshoot of CBI is something called care groups. Has anybody here heard of care groups? One person. So, a care group uses some CBIO principles, but it's not fully developed. A care group is a group of 10 or 12 women who each are responsible for 10 or 12 households. And the care group meets with a paid facilitator every 2 weeks, and the facilitator teaches to the care group volunteers a message, like the importance of exclusive breastfeeding and how to do it. And then the volunteer conveys that to the 10 households for which she's responsible. And then they meet again 2 weeks later, they learn a new message, and then they share that. And then it's an iterative process. These have been funded by Child Survival, USAID Child Survival Funds, for NGOs doing child survival work, but there have been, it's now being applied in 27 countries by 23 different organizations, and we just published a whole two articles that summarize the world's experience with care groups. One of the things about it is that the volunteers, they report vital events back to their facilitator at the end of 2 weeks. So it's a very powerful way of monitoring in real time mortality change, and we've got examples of dramatic declines in mortality that have been achieved over a 3 or 4 year period by using this approach. And the findings from all of this research together that you can see in an article that just came out a few weeks ago show that among all the child survival groups that USAID funds through international NGOs, which themselves are high quality, the care group projects are superior in their performance compared to other child survival projects. So I think this is another testimony of the power. Has anybody heard of BRAC? Okay, well, of course we've got our Bangladeshi colleagues here, but BRAC has been using CBIO principles, and the one that I know best about is the Minoshi project. It's a project funded by by the Gates Foundation. Am I finished?
Yeah.
Okay, time's up. Anyway, that reaches 8 million people using CBIO principles, and they've had a dramatic decline in maternal mortality and neonatal mortality, which is the real focus of this. So I think there's a lot of evidence. And so if, do I have a minute?
Half a minute.
Okay, the most important thing you're going to hear is going to come right now. Are you ready? So this is John Wyan. This is what he told me. There are three types of public health. There's disease-oriented public health, services-oriented public health, and community-oriented public health. And everybody knows what disease-oriented public health is. And services-oriented public health is to get needed services out to people. But community-oriented public health is when a public health practitioner or a program works with a community to help it improve its health. And John's big point was that we need all of these. They're all vital and essential parts of public health, but community-oriented public health has been woefully neglected and underdeveloped. And I think for aid effectiveness, we need to build up this part of this, and there's so much evidence that this is important. So I'm going to quit. Thank you.